Well, it's good to be here. As Josh has said, my name is Daniel. I'm very grateful for the opportunity to be with you and to open up the scriptures. The reading today is in the letter to Philemon. Though our consideration will just be starting at verse 8, we'll take the time this evening to read the entire section. The letter of Paul to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, and to Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. I think it's always a bit daunting to come to an assembly you've never been to before. It's always daunting to open up the scriptures and to seek to open them up before people who you don't know. I was talking to my family and they were saying, Daniel, what passage do you have before you? As you can imagine, if you had doctrinal teaching on the book of Ephesians, that would be quite helpful. Or maybe even the book of Galatians, you have this mix of doctrine and practical teaching. When we come to the little letter of Philemon, as already been mentioned, it's an incredibly practical section. I've been thinking that there's a number of words I've learned over my trip here, things that we back in America don't say. One of them that I wish we did say, so I'll just borrow it, is Philemon is in the midst of a very thorny issue, a very difficult issue. One of the principles I want to bring before you is this. We see that in secular life, the Apostle Paul was a Jew, likely never owned a slave in his life, never knew what it was to have a slave run away. How easy it would have been for Philemon to say, we're talking about what's going on in my house, under my roof, in my family. This man, this preacher, what does he know about my family's life? What does he know about owning slaves? This has no bearing on the assembly. And yet, the Apostle Paul, we have this entire letter, and the Apostle Paul says, Christianity affects everything. There's no section of our lives that are parted off or siloed off from the claims of Christianity. And so Paul writes to Philemon to say, this man who has abandoned you, this fugitive, he says, I'm sending him home. I'm sending him back. And he says, The claims of Christianity and the claims of Christ, he says, they affect every matter in your life. Maybe two things I want to mention just very briefly in opening is this. You know, we are so familiar with the story. Onesimus, he runs away. Again, there are so many details here that we should try to fill in. I take it from everything I know of Philemon and the work in Colossae that Philemon was a good man, an honorable man. There were many masters in that day who would beat their servants or mistreat their servants, perhaps not give them a good lodging or a good home. I think if you went to Philemon and his wife Apphia and you said, did you do everything you possibly could for this man? He would say, we did absolutely everything. This was the ideal home to be in as a slave, as a servant. And yet the day came when Onesimus took off. I wonder if Philemon and Apphia, they sat there and they said, I think we have some hints in the letter that they were stolen from. They were robbed. I wonder if they sat around the dinner table that evening and thought, we'll never see that boy again. I wonder where he's gone off to. And he makes his way 1,000 miles away to the city of Rome, lost in a sea of people. And you think, what a blessing he had to be in the home of Christians. The church met in the house of Philemon. What a blessing he must have had. You say, certainly he's forgotten it all. He's moved on. He's gone out. And yet we'll find out that in a city of 1 million people, God still had his eye on Onesimus. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk a bit about this. I want to just make 2 points. The first one is, we are so quick to take this letter and apply it to our lives, and we ought to. We should. We apply it to a brother or a sister maybe mistreating us in the assembly. Perhaps some small, someone took your seat or something. I don't know if you get up in arms about that over here. I want to talk about just the severity of what happened to Philemon. You all know this. You've heard it often. There were two classes of people that were crucified in the Roman world. Who were those two classes? They were rebels, and they were slaves. You know, as Onesimus makes his way back home, it would have been 100% within the right of Philemon to execute the man who had run away, who had robbed him. And Paul is now not only sending this man back, Onesimus back, he's sending him back and he says, don't just receive him, but receive him as a brother. I wonder if, I was listening to Mr. Ironside today. He was saying, he was trying to say, as Philemon looked out over the scene and he saw a figure make its way up the yard, he says, that boy often, he looks a lot like Onesimus, but certainly Onesimus isn't coming back. And can you imagine here, one of the questions I'll just have the brethren prepare for is, why is this a personal letter rather than, we know that the letter to the Colossians was written at the same time, why not just include that in the letter to the Colossians? Paul takes the time to write a separate letter. Tychicus, we know, bore the letter of Colossians. I wonder if Philemon was the one who brought the letter of Philemon. And, or rather, Onesimus was the one who brought the letter of Philemon. And as he comes, the great claims are put upon this man. Receive him not as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved. And so, just in this little section that we have before us, I want to think about Paul's appeal. He says, I could charge it. I could tell you, you have to do this. This is what's fitting for a Christian to do, but he says, rather I entreat you. Paul's appeal. Then in the next two verses, we have Onesimus's begotten, a man who was born in the midst of bonds. And then lastly, I want to think about Philemon's charge. What it meant for Philemon to receive the man again. Again, a question that we will have to face is, why did Paul treat this in such a manner? Why didn't he just command it to be done? And when it comes to this very sensitive issue, how does this apply to ourselves? And then, at least one of the challenges I was thinking of through this week, I was here when our brother Clark was here to preach, and we opened that, well, I have even one soul. I was challenged by this fact that Paul, in the midst of prison, was able to see a man saved. I was also impressed by the fact of the variety of men he saw saved. We know some of Caesar's household. and here is now just a poor slave. And we don't know the settings or the circumstances, whatever God had messed us into prison, and yet we see a man in the midst of difficulty, in the midst of bondage, in his own house likely under arrest, and yet he's still going out with the gospel. What a challenge it is to us, begotten in bonds. And then lastly, a man who realizes, if this is going to be of use to Philemon, he's still looking after the benefit of Philemon and Onesimus. Paul says, if this is going to be to Philemon's credit, I won't have to take it of necessity, by constraint. He says, I'll have to take it willingly. And so he says, Onesimus, it'd be great to keep you. He says, but I'm going to send you on the 1,000-mile journey back home so that you can be of more use to our brother Philemon. With that, let's open up together at verse 8. Perhaps I'll begin with that question.